We've got Joshua P. Warren with us tonight. We're going to talk about some more Harbingers of Doom. Then we'll get into some of his other works. What's the military doing in Puerto Rico? What is hack reality? And so much more next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Joshua P. Warren. And Josh, before we get into what the military's doing out that way in Puerto Rico, tell us about the Harbingers of Doom. What else is going on there?
Yeah, there are some things that really stand out vividly. And by the way, you know, speaking of Harbingers of Doom, when we were talking about Mothman and the Gargula, I should point out that a few years ago, somebody claimed that they actually got a photograph of the Gargula. And if you go to my website, joshuapwarren.com, there is no period after the P. If you go to joshuapwarren.com and scroll down the homepage, you'll be able to see this photograph and judge for yourself its authenticity. Mm. But, you know, when it comes to these moments before these things occur, before they hit, I was talking to a guy, he's a friend of mine, who is 51 years old. And he has lived here in Puerto Rico on this particular side of the island since 1975. He's seen a lot of hurricanes come and go. Of course, nothing like this one. But he said before Maria hit that there was such an incredible eerie calm and quiet and stillness. All the animals just disappeared, except for these large buzzards circling above, a quite ominous sight. And, you know, the animals are so sensitive to these things that people who've lived here for a long time say they can predict the weather by watching the iguanas, because iguanas like to climb up into the tops of trees. And it's occasionally, if you're walking through the jungle, you might get an unpleasant surprise.
Yeah, they may land on your head, right?
Comes tumbling out, huh. Clawing its way. And so these iguanas, they generally like to perch on a limb facing outward. And if you see them do that, you know the weather is going to be pleasant. But if they turn around facing the trunk of the tree, well, then rain is surely on the way. So these creatures are very sensitive to pressure and temperature. And so you can imagine this next story I'm going to tell you, it takes on extra impact if you consider just how quiet things were in those days preceding Maria hitting in late September. First off, in 1840, there was this old plantation, a sugar mill hacienda near San Juan, the capital, and all the historians have said that the slaves there were worked particularly hard, and that the master would ring a bell throughout the day to signify when it was time to wake up, to eat, to sleep, etc. And for decades, even after that plantation and bell were long gone, people have heard that bell ringing in the night just before tragedy strikes. Not just storms, but it could also be the unexpected death of a family member or a fire that breaks loose. So people in that area, obviously they believe it's the spirits of the slaves that are exacting some revenge. So I went to this community, and I went to a series of chinchorros, which are kind of like little community bars and restaurants, and started talking to people. And everybody in the community said that for a few nights before Maria hit, that they would hear the sound of this bell. It had a very shrill sound, but they could hear this thing ringing in the otherwise quiet of the night. And everybody knew there was no bell out there that should be ringing. And in that community, most of the homes were absolutely destroyed. Some of the family members died. So that bell would be a pretty classic harbinger of doom, something that you don't want to hear.
You don't want to hear that clanging, that's for sure.
No, not at all. So that's a good example of the different types of harbingers. And I'm telling you, the stories just keep coming in. They go on and on. And so this is a fascinating opportunity for me to document what these
Oh,
harbingers are
sure.
really like.
What's going on with the military and UFOs in Puerto Rico, Josh?
Well, you know, the military has always had a very controversial role here in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico was taken over by military force in 1890, I believe, in the Spanish-American War. And since then, because Puerto Rico has never been a state, there have been a lot of experiments done here. And we're talking about even experiments on humans with eugenics, you know, sterilizing women and that sort of thing. We've had all kinds of biological experiments done on animals. In fact, some monkeys were brought over here and put on an island in a laboratory. They were injected with all kinds of diseases and exposed to radiation. And then at some point in the 1950s, these monkeys escaped, just like something out of a bad sci-fi movie. And they either swam or hit on a boat and got back to the mainland and have been a nuisance ever since.
Huh.
Big, vicious monkeys. The fastest monkeys on the planet, patas monkeys, they're called, with big teeth, and they scare
Are they
people
more
to death.
vicious than chimpanzees?
Everybody here says that if you see them, you better run. And so, all I know is these pot, and I've never actually seen one. They actually hired a guy to come here and kill as many of them as possible, which you can imagine a lot of groups out there didn't approve of that,
Right,
but they were
exactly.
spreading diseases, and they can be so tall that when they stand upright, they can be almost 5 feet tall. They can run, I think, close to 40 miles per hour. You got potus monkeys, you have rhesus monkeys. There has been all kinds of bombing that has been done, especially on this little island called Vieques, which is off of the East Coast, which has been very controversial, using depleted uranium and, in some cases, things that are outright radioactive. There are still some areas you can't go to. So, all that said, there are secret military facilities strewn across the island. And I say secret in quotations because most people know where they are. I mean, it's pretty easy to find some of them because you go there and you see all the signs that say you better turn around and go the other way, or you get shot or whatever. The sightings of these UFOs and USOs have often been concentrated around these areas where the military is also active. So you could say, on one hand, well, maybe these are just some kind of secret military craft that people are interpreting as being UFOs. On the other hand, that doesn't explain it, because you have these craft that do all these exotic things, just like that footage that I put in my report last year, showing that object flying around the Aguadilla Airport at 120 miles per hour without a rotor, without wings, dipping in and out of the water. You have that. You also have people who have come into contact with aliens. And what we have found is that since this hurricane and since the military presence here has increased, there has been an increase in sightings of these very weird craft. So if your listeners go to coasttocoastam.com, you'll see, as you mentioned, that Sean, he put up some images there, and there's one in particular
Weird
that was taken.
images. I can't tell if it's an airplane or a big bird.
Well, my friend who is a native here, Investigator Ellis, he likes to sit around with these big telephoto, telescopic type lenses and take pictures of some of these areas from afar where military are going in and out. So right after the hurricane, he was sitting at this airstrip, which officially doesn't exist, but you can see an airplane there. And if you drive by there and you know where to look, you can see windsocks and all that kind of thing. And here is this aircraft, an airplane, sitting there. And a few seconds later, all of a sudden, there is this big, bizarre-looking, towering object in the background. Now, all of this is near the Laguna Cartagena, which has always been considered an underground UFO base. People see these craft going in and out of the water. I've had many experiences at the Laguna Cartagena, where I have had men in black type figures come out and mess with me. And so when you look at this object in the background, and you can see there at coasttocoastam.com, the object, it has this, it's tall and it has these little appendages that seem to be emanating from it. And if you look at that and then scroll down, you will see that there is one of many types of photographs, like the one shown there, taken by a man named Louis Imott, near that same site, that shows one of these weird craft from 2012. And it looks very similar to the type of object that is now being rapidly seen. And so there is this whole sort of conspiratorial underground here of people who believe that whatever intelligence is behind these UFOs or OUFOs has been working to a certain extent with the military, and that as troubling as this may seem, that this hurricane hitting the island in this way may have actually been influenced to create this tragedy.
Interesting take on this. Now, as far as people witnessing UFOs, are they seeing these craft?
Yes, people see them with their naked eyes. Plus, we have, of course, plenty of videos, plenty of pictures. And you see, this is going to sound really bizarre, but when I first came to this island and started interviewing people around 12 or 13 years ago, a lot of people I talked to who, and I haven't found any of them who will go officially on the record and put their name out there, but a lot of these people believe that there are beings on this island that look more or less like humans, but that they are not actually humans. And this gets, you know, so bizarre that there are some pretty specific traits that are consistent when it comes to descriptions of these beings. So now, before I get into that, as wild as this sounds, think about some of the crazy things that humans do when they go out to hunt, for example. Some of them dress up like a deer. Some of them go out and do whatever they can to emulate, you know, being a duck. I mean, you know, we see some weird stuff. I mean, I was watching this documentary one time where it might have been National Geographic or something, where photographers were going out there and dressing up like hippopotamuses and things like that to get pictures. So if we do have some intelligent beings here that are trying to mesh, maybe they would disguise themselves as humans. But when I talked to people all over the island who believed that they had had some kind of an encounter with one of these false humans, the thing they would point out over and over is that they all have very small ears.
What has that got to do with it? That's weird.
Huh? Well, that was my first impression. Like, what could that possibly mean? Why would there be small ears? Why didn't they get that part right? And everybody would throw up their hands. And I mean, I talked to people who had military experience who would tell me over and over about seeing these apparent people that they knew were agents because they had small ears. And it did occur to me that back when we first started hearing these sort of odd science stories about genetic manipulation, like the one with the rat, what they grow on the rat's back or the mouse, then they grew an ear on its back, right? Genetics.
Yeah.
Is, you know, when they do genetic experimentation, why grow an ear on the mouse's back? Is this something that they needed to get right? I don't know. But I can tell you what, I have done expeditions before where I've been taking people to this, to various hot spots around the island where paranormal activity has been witnessed. And sometimes I will have these people who will pop up that will very clearly try to inject themselves, if you will, into our group and start asking questions about what we know and where we're going and what our schedule is and all that. And every single time, They have tiny little ears.
That's
I mean,
weird.
it's so bizarre. What's going to be wild, George, is if tomorrow I get 100 emails from people who listen to this saying, "Oh my God, now that you mention it, I've never thought of it, but here's this person that I think may be some type of artificial, you know, human
with little tiny ears."
With little ears. So the point being, however, and that's getting off on a bit of a tangent, but there are some very specific details out there which people on this island apply to the possibility that not everything that you see here is as it seems. And in fact, I just got an email today from a man who said, if you're going to talk about this on Coast to Coast, I want to make sure that you realize that there is a conspiracy about these weather radar dishes and whatnot working with HARP in order to channel hurricanes for specific reasons. And I said, well, what exactly do you mean? And he said, well, the NEXRAD, which they call the Next Generation Radar in Kaye, it was wiped out by the hurricane. And there is a pattern of these NEXRAD systems that happened to be right in the path of deadly hurricanes in New Orleans and New Jersey. And so a lot of people think that sometimes the government is specifically channeling these hurricanes in order to clean out an area so they can move people in through FEMA and other organizations in order to install some new secret infrastructure.
Do you think that's possible?
I think it's certainly possible, especially here in Puerto Rico, if you consider that this place has been in such a financial mess. It's been a money pit that's been getting deeper and deeper for years. All these people on Wall Street were saying they were never going to get their investments back that they put here. And so how do you solve that? Well, it's not a state, so you can't pass a certain, you know, types of laws that you would for a state. Well, if a big disaster comes through, however, now you get to bring in the resources of FEMA, government money, things get very complex. And so this could be a way of compensating some of those people who were not going to make any money otherwise.
Josh, is Puerto Rico a lab, do you think? Is it like the island of Dr. Moreau and somebody's there experimenting, creating creatures and strange things?
I'm actually really happy that you said that, because I think that might be a very apt description. I mean, you take something like the Chupacabra. The Chupacabra, traditionally, it looks like a little bipedal alien with big eyes hunched over with spines going down its back. It looks a heck of a lot like an iguana mixed with a monkey. And
jeez,
those are both invasive species that they've done experiments with here in Puerto Rico. Coincidence?
And I don't believe in coincidence, as we all know. So things happen for a reason. So maybe whereabouts would there be? Are there areas that you think they could be doing these experiments?
Well, the El Junque rainforest is the only national park that is a U.S. rainforest. And so, therefore, there have been a lot of areas there restricted with military vehicles going in and out, sort of appearing and disappearing, sometimes underground. There have been UFO crashes around there. The El Junque would be a great place to keep a lot of these projects a secret. And not surprisingly, the El Junque rainforest is also where people most often see things like the Chupacabra and these other bizarro cryptids that might be the product of some kind of genetic manipulation.
All right, we're going to come back and talk about hack reality, whatever that is, next. We're going to take your phone calls next hour with Joshua P. Warren for the entire hour. Then we'll go into open lines later on tonight on Coast to Coast AM. So get ready, and we're going to come back in a moment with him and talk about what he has created called Hack Reality and have him explain that as well. We are back with Joshua P. Warren. We'll take phone calls with him all of next hour as well. Josh, you've created what you call Hack Reality. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, well, you know, for one thing, George, I hope everyone will attend your spectacular event in Vegas in June. I know we'll be
and yours
wonderful.
In May.
And yeah, the month before, So I'm producing this huge 3-day event. It's a one-time only event. Only 100 tickets will be sold. It's at the MGM Excalibur Hotel on the Vegas Strip. And it's 3 days to teach you how to hack reality, and it's called Finding Your Magic. So I have invented this new system to help everyone listening to this program manifest amazing things in their lives. Let me explain. The idea is to teach everyone techniques to sort of beat the system and improve your luck in life to attain what I call lucid living. And what I mean by that is I have always been a very vivid dreamer. So as soon as my head hits the pillow, I mean, sometimes before I'm even asleep, I have these very clear, colorful dreams. And most of the time I don't realize that I'm dreaming. But occasionally I will realize I'm dreaming. And of course, that's called a lucid dream. And at that point, I can start controlling my dream and have a lot of fun with it. And I'm here to tell everyone listening to this program right now that you are dreaming right now. This thing you're calling reality is just another form of the dream. And so I have found a technique to help you become lucid in this, because you will be amazed at how much more you can control than you have ever realized you can control. So here was how all this really came about. Over the years, I realized if I would talk to different types of people and ask them if they've ever tried to manipulate reality or manifest things, everybody's very different. Everybody's got their own unique DNA. So you might find somebody who says, you know, I don't really like wishing machines because I don't like things with knobs and switches. But I like something like a magic wand that works better for me. Or you might have somebody who says, I don't really care for magic wands. I like dowsing. Mm-hmm. Or you have somebody else who says, I don't like dowsing. I like the mental techniques of using the force. And then you have people who say, look, nothing has ever worked for me. I have tried all this stuff and nothing has ever worked.
And so that's because they're too negative about it.
Well, I think often the problem is that they have not been matched up properly with the thing that is perfect for that person. And that's when the light bulb went off for me. I started interviewing a lot of people. I started profiling people. I started studying personality tests and Western astrology and Chinese astrology and all these things. And I came up with a system that will match a person just beautifully with the technique that is most likely to work for that person. There are 12 different personality types. I can give you some examples of this in a minute.
Okay.
And if you start trying to do manifestation work, but you start out on the wrong foot, it can destroy the whole experience for you. You get frustrated, you say, this doesn't work for me, and you give up. So this is brand new. This is groundbreaking. I have these hands-on exercises that we're going to do for 3 days where I'm going to personally match every single person up with exercises that will work for that person. And I will instruct you on how to use those techniques properly. We're going to go out and plus just have a lot of fun and win some money in Las Vegas. In addition, I'm going to be doing a live Parasymatics demonstration. I'm going to have some UFO crash debris that has never before been shown. You know, I had one piece of debris when you came to Asheville last year, George.
Right.
And actually, I guess it was the year before that, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and there's rumors I may be back this year.
I sure hope so. But I have some other crash debris that I've never been exposed to the public that everybody will get to play with. We're going to have Dr. John Alexander there. So we're going to be
great guy. As a matter of fact, he's one of my guests next week on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, I saw that. So this is perfect timing. And, you know, he lives out there and nobody knows more than him about all this UFO debris. And, you know, he's one of the men who stares at goats, you know. And even if he doesn't like being called that, come on, George Clooney played you in a movie. You know, you can take the compliment, right?
Absolutely.
And so he's going to be there. We're going to be digging into remote viewing techniques, telekinesis. I mean, it's just so much stuff stuffed into this 3 days. I consider this the ultimate event that I've ever produced. And so, again, there's only 100 tickets. And if you go to
Why did you limit to only 100?
Because I wanted to have that personal hands-on time.
Okay,
I
get
wanted
it.
To make sure that every single person leaves there with their lives changed, their lives altered. So it's actually fitting, George, that you and I both have some cool stuff going on in Vegas this year. And, you know, there's all the information at my website. But let me give you an example, George, of the personality types that I'm kind of dealing with and how this came together for
Okay.
me. So, again, I have 12 different personality types and 12 basic approaches to manifestation. Now, I didn't set out looking for 12. I actually wanted 10. Because I figured, well, that's a nice round number. You have 10 fingers, 10 toes. But once I started doing the work, it became clear that it needed to be 12. So we're going to be profiling everybody, and we're going to be working together to do that. So, for example, this is a very simplified version of how this system works. When we take you through the process to determine your best attributes and your worst attributes, we might say that someone is, on the good side, tolerant, intelligent, respected, but also on the bad side, they're short-tempered and disinterested. That type of personality will fit into the type we call the name-seer. And this is a person who usually has great success using a manifestation strategy called true name. And so at that event, we're going to train that person on how to use true name to gain knowledge and do things they've never thought they could do before.
Well, manifestation works because do you know Joseph Gallenberger? He comes on the program once in a while. He's a clinical doctor, and he has created a program of manifestation. He takes people to Vegas from wherever he lives, and they use positive thinking to win, and he said the results are uncanny.
Oh, yeah, well, that's very similar to what we're going to be doing as well, because, you know, I consider Vegas to be a big laboratory, and the people in Vegas who are guarding the money, they're not very charitable folks. They don't want you to walk out of there a winner, right? So,
well, they want somebody, some people too, so they can brag about it, right?
Well, you have the occasional person, but
you don't want everybody saying they're lost. That's not fun.
That's right. But I want everybody who comes to this event to be able to win, not only in the casino, but to go out and realize that there are things that are even more valuable than money that you'll be able to materialize and manifest in your life.
It'll be a great experiment for you, Josh.
Well, I think it's going to be especially intriguing to take different people who might say, look, I don't think I can do this. This is not for me. And jar their minds and say, look, you can do this. And there are very simple exercises that we're going to go through. Like, for example, right now, everybody listening to this program, take your hands and clasp them together. Don't even think about it. Just clasp your hands together with your fingers interlaced and look down and see which one of your thumbs is on top. We know that the right side of the brain controls the left side of the body and vice versa. So that means that if your right thumb is below, then that means that you are more of a right-brained person. And that may seem a little confusing because you say, well, my left thumb is on top, so shouldn't that be dominant? Well, no, that means the dominant side of your body is being controlled by the right side of the brain. So I have found that people who have their right thumb underneath their left thumb tend to be better at the remote viewing exercises.
Interesting.
It's tapping into the more creative right side of the brain.
My right thumb is under my left thumb as I sit here.
Well, I'm not a bit surprised because you've had a lot of success at remote viewing, and I've even tested you on the air a few times, and you have always been right. There's never been one occasion when we've done an experiment when you have been wrong, George. And so
maybe I better quit while I'm ahead, huh?
Well, who knows? But, you know, the idea here is that there are extremely simple things that you can do. And to learn how to properly program equipment, we're going to have psychokinetic PK wheels. We're going to do, I mean, like some people are just what I call prayers, okay? You might be a person listening to this program and say, I'm not into any of this kind of like manifestation stuff. If you pray, you are.
You are. There's no, you know, we do the Friday Prayer Club for people who have afflictions, whatever it may be. People send me emails and say, can you pray for my cousin Tom? He's going in for an operation tomorrow. So we have a prayer list that we do not publicize, but people on Friday, if they have a few moments, we just ask them to concentrate on a list of names and pray for them. And I got to tell you, Josh, the results are uncanny, because when I get emails back from the people who asked for people to be on the prayer list, 7 out of 10 of them say it worked. That's pretty high.
Oh, yeah, that is way beyond mere chance. And I think what that shows you is that there are many, many different techniques that you can use, as long as it aligns with your outlook, that will allow you to produce profound results. A lot of people don't even think of what they do as magic, even though it really is. And the bottom line is that you are a creation. And so you have this God-given power to also be a creator. And everybody is creating all the time, but if you don't have focus, you might just be creating a bunch of noise.
Have you ever met Lynn McTaggart? She is a genius when it comes to manifestation experiments, Josh. She has conducted some on this program. She's truly remarkable. I mean, she brought down crime in Washington, D.C. That's a miracle all by itself. But she did that with a manifestation experiment. But she has written all kinds of works on manifestation, the force. She's just an amazing person. You've got to meet her if you haven't.
Yeah, I haven't met her in person, but I have definitely enjoyed her work for many, many years. And you know, one of the things that I also find intriguing is that there are people out there, I'm sure, listening to this show, who say, like, look, I don't believe in anything. You know, I don't believe in magic. I don't believe in manifestation. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the spiritual. I just believe in technology. And what those people often don't realize is that technology is also a form of magic. It's just magic that operates very reliably that we are very familiar with. It goes back to that great quote by Arthur C. Clarke, that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And so I have created this thing, which I call a circle of mastery, which has these different 12 approaches that you can take. And when we match your personality up, then you will be perfectly positioned at the right starting point for you. And not only is this going to improve your life dramatically on a personal level, but also collectively doing these experiments like you were talking about with Lynn. And I think ultimately the bottom line here is to realize, George, that whatever we're talking about here when we do radio shows like this, whether we're talking about UFOs or cryptids or psychic phenomena or whatever, we have to ask ourselves at the end of the day, what is the goal here? You know, what is the purpose? What are we trying to achieve? And what we're really ultimately trying to do is improve the human experience. And so, therefore, however you understand what's happening in this big multifaceted diamond called life, at the end of the day, the purpose is to be able to tap into that knowledge and to make your life better.
The Wheel of Mastery, incredible. And you have a couple websites now. You also have one called youwillmanifest.com. Is that up and running?
Yeah, youwillmanifest.com will take you directly to the information about this event. Again, only 100 tickets available, and obviously we've already sold plenty of those tickets. And I also hope that people who go there to my general website, joshuapwarren.com, will at very least sign up for my e-newsletter. It's free, so they can stay updated on new things that I have coming up. But youwillmanifest.com will give you all the info on this one-time-only three-day event. And I just think it's wonderful, George, that I'm doing this in May. You're doing your event in June, and we're just taking Vegas by storm.
You should just stay through and come see me at my event.
I'm planning on it, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yeah, I am, because I am I'm right now working on getting a residence in Vegas because I want to build a laboratory there and start doing a lot of research. So I plan to be in that area for a while.
Okay, stay with us. We're going to come back. Final hour to go with Joshua P. Warren up next. We will take your phone calls as we talk about creatures in Puerto Rico, UFOs, and other strange occurrences. So get ready to make the call then in our final hour. We're going to have open lines for you on Coast to Coast AM.